So here we are, top of page 2. Keep trusting God. So we've been learning about trusting God, and we'll just keep at that. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. I remember vividly finishing high school and not knowing what I was going to do next. And I had several verses that sort of kept me alive through all of that. And this is one of them, because I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to pray that God shows me where to go. So this next verse we're going to read about God directing our paths was my first verse I thought about. But then I thought, what if he directs my paths to somewhere, but I starve to death when I get there? That wouldn't be good. So the next verse I quoted to myself was Philippians 4, that God would supply my needs. But then I thought, what if God gets me to the right place and he gives me what I need, but I'm miserable? Then the third verse is the one we read just before the break, that God will give you the desires of your heart. So during that very challenging time where there's big changes in my life, and we all have those times in life, I just prayed, and I remember looking myself in the mirror and going like this and quoting these verses to myself, that God would direct my paths, supply my needs, and give me the desires of my heart. And I just kept meditating on those three verses and praying. And sometime after that, and I don't know if it was a week or a month or 3 months, but at some point, God just told me what to do and where to go. And I did it. And it worked. And I'm still here, enjoying reading the Bible with you guys. So you find certain verses in your life that are very meaningful. And I'm not saying that the ones that are very meaningful to me will be the same ones that are meaningful to you. And if you don't know which ones are meaningful for you, just ask God to show you a couple. And just pray. And he'll let you know what you should focus on. And then you focus on that. Because God knows your heart, and he knows what you need, and he'll provide it one way or another. So Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Here we go. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Again, you can have understanding, and you should. We all understand different things. We've worked, we've studied, we've lived, we've experienced things, but we just don't lean on it. We don't put all our reliance on our understanding. Use whatever understanding you have, but then expect God to help you. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with your entire being, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Then verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Everything you're doing, acknowledge that God is your Father, your Lord, the one who loves you and will provide for you. And as you do that, he'll direct your paths. He'll make them straight and smooth so you know which way to go. You just trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 11, verse 28. Proverbs 11, 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Nothing wrong with having riches. Just don't put all your trust and reliance in them. We trust God for financial abundance, and then we pray that he'll continue to provide. We just don't trust in it. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Here in Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Because when you trust in the Lord, you are happy, because you know it's trustworthy. You know, I have some things that are pretty trustworthy. I have a car that has about 280,000 miles on it, and it's pretty trustworthy, but it has its days where it's a bit of a challenge. But in general, it's trustworthy, and I'm happy, because I know if I go out and start it, I'll get to work. But how much greater God? that we have something trustworthy, and the person that trusts God is happy. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Oh, we were talking during the break, some of us, about how some people have a problem and they think just because they have a problem, God has forsaken them or they're a terrible person and they always want to say, why me? And I brought up my favorite really overused example about a football team. Imagine a football team that if they had to face another opposing team, they'd think they were a terrible team. But if you're a football team, you go out on the field and there's this other team of large, mean-looking guys that want to knock you over and plant your face on the ground, because that's their job. So if I walk out, you know, the coach, imagine it, the coach gets the team all whooped up in the locker room and they're all, we're going to win, we're going to win. Then they run on the field and go, oh my gosh, there's another team there. And they run back and hide in the locker room. Well, that would be like me if I woke up in the morning and a problem was confronting me. You know, somebody was mad at me, there was a financial problem, there was something that, you know, think of all the challenges we have. We all have different challenges. But if I walk out and there's a challenge, I go, oh my God, there's a challenge. There's a difficulty. There's a problem. Oh! Well, if football teams did that, they would never even talk about the Super Bowl. Because they have problems. They have another team of guys that are just as big and just as determined and just as well trained trying to knock them over. And they got to go out and be bigger and more determined and better organized and better coached, better coordinated, and beat them anyway. Well, it's like that in our lives. Just because you have a problem doesn't mean you're defeated. That's why we often call problems opportunities, because they are literally opportunities to believe God, opportunities to trust God, opportunities to ask God to help you. So I'm not saying you should go look for problems. They will find you. But but when they're there, don't get too upset about them. Look at it as here is a chance to grow. Here is a lot of people, like athletes, business people, people that like various kinds of games, they want to play against somebody that's good or better than them because that's how they grow. So again, I'm not saying look for problems, but when you have one, like one of the greatest times in my life of trusting God is a couple jobs ago. I just had the most horrible boss for about 5 years. But he forced me to pray and trust God and focus on the scriptures. And I got to the place where things that drove me nuts, I didn't bother about at all. Because I knew that God would take care of me. Now, it wasn't very fun for a while, but I didn't give up. And I ended up a much stronger believer and a much more peaceful, happy person because this guy was such an idiot and made my life hell. And I really try to do that when I run into challenges. Instead of getting all upset and figuring out who to blame and why is God leaving me here and why am I such a terrible believer, I go, nope, nope, this problem. God will help me. And I'm going to focus on God, and you'll come out stronger if you decide you want to trust God. Again, I'm not suggesting you go find problems. You know, like I talked to a guy the other day who wants to walk across the whole country, and it'll probably take him a year. And I thought, now that's just looking for trouble. Why would you do that? I mean, there's airplanes, there's cars, there's bicycles, there's cruise ships. But he wants to. So he's like going out looking for trouble. And if he does it, I'm sure it'll be very rewarding and it'll grow a lot and blah, 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 blah. But the point is, he's looking for a problem. He's making one up. I'm not suggesting you go make up a problem in your life, but you're going to have them and they're going to come to you. And you can look at it as an opportunity. Come on in. Or you can look at it as an opportunity. We saved you a seat right up front. Come on up here. Look at it as an opportunity to grow. Look at it as an opportunity to trust God. So much of life is just your viewpoint. I remember starting a job in Chicago decades ago, and I sort of liked it. It was my first job in an actual engineering office because I'm an engineer, and it was pretty cool. And I got in there, and I was the new guy, and I was figuring things out. And I'd been there like 2 weeks, and I was going down the hall to make a pit stop, and this guy about my age caught me in the hall, and he says, oh, you don't know how they treat people here. This is terrible. And he just wanted me to get all negative and angry. And I just listened, and I thanked him. And you know, I looked at this as this job God had gotten me, and I was very thankful, and I was having fun, and I was learning. Sure, it was a lot of work, but I thought it was great. But this guy says, you don't know how they treat people, it's terrible. And I thanked him, and then I went back to my drafting board and did my work. I had a great time there, stayed there a couple of years, it was a wonderful job. So none of that negative stuff he said ever happened to me. But I was treated the same way he was treated by the same bosses, and I loved it. He hated it. So much in life is your attitude. I mean, there are some things that are, yes, they're real problems, you know, and everybody knows it's a problem. Other times, it's really a matter of how do you want to look at it? Do you want to take the challenges in front of you as things that'll kill you? Or do you want to just say, this is a little annoying and it's a little tough, but I'm going to pray and God's going to help me. And it so much comes down to your attitude. And now after that, I'll get back to the notes. That's why I give you the same notes I have. I have a terrible time sticking to my notes. But that's okay. Okay, so Proverbs 22, verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, that they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be what? In the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. That thy trust may be in the Lord. That's why I'm telling you all this, is so you can trust in the Lord. Verse 20, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty, the trustworthiness of the words of truth, that thou mayest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. So that's why he's saying all this, that your trust can be in the Lord. Proverbs 28, verse 25. And one of the things God gives that helps us trust in him is hope. Hope is having something positive to look forward to. Of course, our great hope is the return of the Lord. But then there's a lot of shorter term things to look forward to. Like if you survive the next half an hour or so, you have lunch. You see, you have a hope. In a half an hour, that guy's gonna shut up and I can eat. You see, you have a hope, you have a vision. And yeah, it's good to have hope. It's good to have things to look forward to. Our great hope is the return of the Lord, but in between, there's just all kinds of great things to hope for. Of course, I could keep talking, but even I like lunch breaks, so I won't. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat, rich, fulfilled. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. See, our trust must be in God. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. If you get scared of what people might do, might say, you're just gonna be a snare, like a bird or some animal trapped in a net or a trap. You'll just be ensnared because it wraps you up. Because you know what? Those other people have freedom of will. And that's another tough thing we'll get to a little later when we get into the section on prayer, is that God gives people freedom of will. And God can always provide for you and take care of you, but he can't change somebody else's mind. There are plenty of places, you know, you can read all about it. God didn't change Adam and Eve's mind to not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them not to, but they did it. And a lot of times what people pray is that this person will change or do what they ought to do. Well, they're gonna do whatever they wanna do. You can pray that God will help them and work in their hearts and encourage them, but they're ultimately gonna do what they wanna do. So you end up fearing what people are gonna do. You know, like when I had that really annoying boss, I just prayed that God would take care of me. And he did, and I grew, and it worked out fine. It got so good that when I was offered the job I have now, I almost didn't take it. In retrospect, it's a good thing I swapped, but what was a terrible situation turned out to be a very good one. But it took years of praying, years of focusing on God, years of not panicking. And we all have similar challenges. That was just one in my life. You've got your own challenges. But you can't fear people. You can't fear what people might do or say or not do or not say. You just can't. You must have your trust in God. You work with people, you love them, you pray for them, but ultimately they're going to do whatever they're going to do, and your trust must be in God. So Proverbs 29:25, again, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He's a shield, a protection unto them that put their trust in him. Isaiah chapter 12, a couple books forward. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation, my deliverer. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. So look at that. I will trust and not be afraid. It reminds me of that verse somewhere in Proverbs. I don't think it's in the notes. It says, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We're going to have days of adversity, and we just don't faint. We look to God. I think of that Shunammite woman. Remember there's that Shunammite woman that Elijah used to stay with when he traveled through? Shunem is probably the town she lived in. And they built a little room for him on the wall of their house, and he always went there. And because of her believing and Elijah intervening, she ended up getting pregnant and having a son. And when the son got older, the son died. And she was obviously very distraught, and she went straight to the man of God, and she was determined. She knew that if she went to Elijah, he walked with God, and her son could be healed. And she just had such determination, she didn't give up. And she's a great example to just not give up when things get tough, because we will all have tough days. And sometimes the toughest days are when everything's been going perfect for a while. And you think you're sort of bulletproof and nothing will happen to me. Then something goes wrong anyway. And you've got to decide, am I going to panic? Am I going to blame God? Am I going to decide I'm a lousy believer? Am I going to decide prayer doesn't work? Or am I just going to go pray and trust God? I recommend trusting God, but you probably figured that out by now. So Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. That would be a good verse to, like, put on a refrigerator magnet or something. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, deliverance. Isaiah 26. Very familiar verse. Some of these verses you've probably heard about dozens of times. Some may be a little new. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. And stayed is, like we read earlier, it's fixed. It's just not going to move. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed or stayed, because he trusteth in thee. Keep your mind fixed on God, trust in him, God will keep you in perfect peace. And that's really, you read this over and over in the scriptures, that the way to have peace is simply to keep your mind stayed and focused on God. If you focus on all the problems in the world, you'll be panicked. But if you focus on God and remember how capable and willing he is to help you, then you're very peaceful. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. It's like so many things in life. If you got a really good team working with you and whatever you're doing, and you trust that the other people know what they're doing, you don't have to be panicked about every detail. You can say, yes, I'm a little concerned about this, but oh, Fred is great at this, and he'll take care of it. But I'm not sure about, oh, Betty's doing that. Betty always does that great. And you're fine. because you know they're going to take care of it. Well, how about having God on your team? I got a big project on Wednesday, but hey, God's on my team, and he's promised to take care of me. I'll just do the best I can and not worry about it. A lot of things are like that in life. I've been working in D.C. for years, and I remember the first time I had to go testify before a congressional committee, and some of my colleagues were panicked. Oh, my God, you got to go in front of those guys. They'll eat you alive. Ooh. And I refused to get upset about it. I just was, what's the big deal? They're just people. And I'm just going to go talk about issues. We know our issues. We've done our homework. We have our position. We can document it. And they're just people. They're either going to believe me or not. And either way, I'm going to go in and testify it. And then I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and go home. But they wanted me to be all worried. What about? And people just couldn't believe I refused to get upset about everything. And that's the way I am with most things. Not everything. I got my, buttons you can push too and get me going if you. But in general, I just don't get upset about stuff because God is going to take care of us. And that's why it says here, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 8. Verse 5. Oh, we didn't read verse 4 there. Sorry. Isaiah 26:3. You can keep going if you want. I'll read it to you. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It's everlasting. It doesn't wear out. I have my areas where I'm fairly strong, but I wear out. And then I get to the place where, gee, I was really gung-ho, but then I just wore out. And I needed to go sleep or rest or eat or drink or do something. And then I was maybe ready to go again. But not God. He has everlasting strength. That's why we trust in him. Jeremiah 17. Now we're going to come back after lunch, and we're going to have a prize for everybody that stays awake for the hour after lunch. And if I tell more puns and make more outrageous statements to keep you awake, that's just my job. And the funny thing is, some people don't like it after lunch because I say things that make them groan. But good, you see, groaning makes you get oxygen in, because when you groan, you have to breathe more. So there's a method to my madness. Okay, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You know, it's not saying that, you know, if you say you're going to meet me at 3 o'clock and I trust you and I go stand on the corner at 3 o'clock that I'm cursed. But it's when you make flesh your arm, make that your strength, and your heart departs from the Lord. You're not trusting God at all, and you're having people be the strength of your life. That person is cursed. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Bad stuff. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth what? In the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Because you see, the geography of the Bible lands was not like Hawaii or Virginia, where I live. Where I live is similar to this in that the problem is often too much water, not enough. Like yesterday in Honolulu, there was a flash flood warning. And having walked through the rain to go out for breakfast, I could see that. I walked through some of those floods. Now, they weren't that deep, but it was pretty flooded. Whereas the Bible lands, it's very dry. It's much more like the western mainland U.S. And some parts in the western mainland U.S., you can drive for hours through basically desert, and then all of a sudden you see some green up ahead. And you get there, and it's because there's a river going through. And for about 50 feet on either side of the river, there's nice green trees because there's water. And that's what it's talking about here. Let's go back there. Blessed is the man, verse 7, that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see or worry when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green, shall not be anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Because no matter how dry it is everywhere else, there's water there. And that's the key. And trusting God for us is like that. No matter how tough it is everywhere else, God will take care of us. I did a teaching once called God's Statistics Are Best. Because a lot of people will see some number on the news. You know, this economic indicator went down 3% or something, you know, isn't going right. And they want to panic about it because they believe that because something looked a little bad, it's going to keep getting worse. Yet there are places in the scripture like Rahab in Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. Everybody in the city was destroyed except her and those in her house. So how's that for statistics? 99.9% of the people died, and I was the 0.01% that made it. Plenty of times like that in the Bible. What's it say? 1,000 shall fall on thy left hand and 10,000 on thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. You can get panicked by things around you that are negative. Or you can just get to where you don't even notice them. The town I went to college in Connecticut, I turned on the news one night and there was this riot in this housing project. They were burning police cars. Then as they zoomed in and I saw where they were, it was about 3 blocks from where I was sitting. But my windows faced the other way. So I just looked across the park at the ocean and it was quiet. Couldn't hear a thing. The air conditioning was on. I thought, wow, 3 blocks away from here, they're burning police cars. Oh, well. I went to bed. That same year, there was this massive hurricane. We didn't get many hurricanes coming up that far up the coast. They're usually down in the southeastern U.S. But this one came up the coast and started across Long Island, and then was going to cross Long Island Sound, which is like this big bay that I looked out in. And I remember looking at the news one night about 10 o'clock. Oh, and by the way, I had this apartment. It wasn't right on the water, but it was just across this small park from the water with huge plate glass windows, which don't necessarily do that well in a hurricane. And I'm watching the newscaster, and he has this marker, and he had this map, and he says, yes, this hurricane's coming up, and it's crossing Long Island now, and here is its course. And he drew a line right through my living room window just on his map. And one of the believers called me up from the fellowship and said, oh, should we have a 24 hours of prayer for the hurricane? Sometimes that might have been appropriate, but I just didn't think there was a problem. So I said, no, just pray and go to bed. So I prayed and went to bed. The hurricane was supposed to be there in an hour. I just went to bed. Woke up the next morning. While crossing Long Island Sound, it had changed course. Landed about 20 miles down the shore at a different town, and all it did was like flood 3 basements. The point is, there can be all this negative stuff around you. Something else happened just last week. I was somewhere and everything blew up, but it was like 10 minutes before I got there. So you just can't worry about stuff. You just can't panic. You just can't live in fear. Sure, it's good to be cautious. It's good to plan. That's good. But you just cannot live in fear. It's just no good. Just trust God and don't worry about what people think. Daniel 3. Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel 3 and verse 28. This was after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been thrown into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And God sent his angel in there to deliver them. The fire was so hot that the guys that threw them into the fire died just because they got close enough to the door of the fire pit. That's how hot it was. Yet when they went but then they were walking around in the fire and they just walked right out of the fire. And not only were they not dead, they weren't burned, they didn't even smell like smoke. And King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, was so shocked, he said in Daniel 3:28, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that what? Trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Radical stuff. They trusted God and came out alive. 2 Corinthians 1. I'd like to throw in a few from the New Testament just in case you think trusting God only works in the Old Testament times. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence or answer of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. They had a really tough time. Paul was going around teaching the scriptures, and he was being attacked, he was being stoned, he was being dragged before the magistrates and whipped. But the answer was, we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet or still deliver us. Then one more here in Philippians 3. You can go Philippians through your Bible if you want to, or just turn the pages. Or if you have a Bible app, punch it in. Philippians 3, verse 4, that I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Because Paul came from a very distinguished background in his education, in his religious standing in the community, and in being in the leadership positions within Judaism at the time, and he had all the credentials if you wanted to trust in your own self, in your flesh. So Philippians 3, 4, if any man, other man, thinketh that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So he said, if you guys think you can trust in your flesh, I can do it even more. But the point was, we shouldn't trust in our flesh, but in the true God.